cleaning. So it says right here, Contra Costa Water District. It's full of water, too. But, you know, each week as pastor preaches, some people might think that, man, it takes a long time to go through a book of the Bible. You know, it's like going to the ocean and getting a bucket of water and splashing you guys a little bit each week, and that's how many times you got to go back to the Word of God. That's how rich it is. That's how, you know, deep it is. This word right here is full, like an ocean full of God's word right here. Amen. And we keep going back to it. And I was thinking, I was reading it, and it says you know, Contra Costa Water District, but we want to go to the Living Water District, right? Yes. I got a lot of water. My wife's like, you didn't drink that much? I might. You know? And I was thinking of the first song we sang, right, is praise the Lord, right? Let the earth hear your voice. And that's what we want to do today, right? We want to hear the voice of God. Not my voice or my ideas, but God's ideas, God's voice. So if you don't have a Bible, you're going to need one. If you have it on your phone, stay on that, on the Bible on your phone. Don't go to the other apps that are clicking up or whatever. Like, oh, what's going on here? What's Twitter saying? Yeah, that's not God's voice. Or X, or whatever it's called nowadays, right? So we're in Mark chapter 3. Pastor asked me to speak a few weeks back, so he's given me plenty of time to study. And the more you study, the more there is, right? So I've, you know, tried to cut stuff down and things. But yeah, we're going to be in Mark chapter 3, verse 20. And how many of you guys ever heard of C.S. Lewis? Great Christian writer, right? And wrote like Mere Christianity, like a bunch of amazing books about the faith and stuff like that. Just amazing man of God. But C.S. Lewis said, Jesus is either God, a lunatic — what's a lunatic? Someone crazy, right? — or a liar. And so, you know, those are the things that we have to say what Jesus is: God, a lunatic, or a liar. Or we could also say that Jesus is delusional, demonic, or divine. And we're going to see in this passage, who do these people say that Jesus is? And we think about in our lives, who do we say that Christ is? Who is Christ in our lives? How does our life reflect Christ? Who do we say that Jesus is? So we're going to see different views on who Jesus is and who they think that he is. So who do we say that Jesus is? But we can't say that Jesus is just a good teacher, right? Nowadays you'll hear people say, oh, geez, he was a good teacher. He's a prophet, right? He was a good man. He said good things. Muslims will say that. All other religions outside of Christianity will say, Jesus, he was a good man, a good teacher. He did good things. But they deny his deity. They deny that he is God. They deny that he's the only way to heaven. They deny that he's our only hope of salvation. They deny his death and blood and resurrection. And Muslims will say he's a good teacher. Buddhists and Hindus and all kinds of atheists will even say he's a good teacher. But Jesus can't be just a good teacher. He can't be just a good teacher. Because we even know, right, in John chapter 3, verse 2, I don't know if you guys remember John chapter 3, when Nicodemus came to Jesus, and he says, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. And we're going to go through, and Pastor's been preaching through Mark and showing really who Christ is, right? And we're going to go through some of these testimonies of who Christ is. Up until this point, the crowd has not said who Christ is. So let's turn to Mark chapter 1. And we're going to get to Mark chapter 3. Don't worry. Mark 1:1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, who? the Son of God. The Son of God. So Jesus, right? Son of God, God in flesh. Mark chapter 1, verse 6. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locust and wild honey. And it says, and he preached, saying, after me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And remember in John 1:29, it says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So we see John the Baptist confession, who's Christ, right? The Lamb of God. So we already have two places, right? We're talking about who Christ is, the Lamb of God, who does what? Takes away the sins of the world. Because if he's a good teacher, he can't take away sin, right? That's why we need Christ. That's why our only hope is Christ. And so let's go over to Mark chapter 1, verse 9. It continues to go, right? And let's see what the testimony of the Holy Spirit and the Father is. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. The Holy Spirit, it wasn't a dove, it descended like him on a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased. So we see the testimony of, right, this is the Trinity right here, the triune God all in one place. And so we see the testimony of the Holy Spirit, we see the testimony of the Father, who Jesus is. You know, he is God in flesh. And go to, we're still in chapter 1, but go to, so we see the testimony, right, of John the Baptist. We see the testimony of the Father. We see the testimony of the Holy Spirit. So let's go, let's see what the demons say about him in verse 21. And it says, right here, and they went to Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogues and was teaching. Interesting, he was in the synagogue. It's like a church right now, right? Let's see what happens. He entered the synagogue and was teaching, and they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had great authority and not as a scribe. That's the word of God we have here, right? And immediately there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, what have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know that you are the Holy One of God. We even see demonic spirits proclaiming that Jesus Christ is God, right? In chapter 3, verse 11. And it goes on to say, and whenever the unclean spirit saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, you are the Son of God. And he strictly ordered them not to make this known. So we see even the demons are proclaiming that Jesus is God, right? We see these multiple testimonies who Christ is. And the main thing, one of the things that separates Christianity and all other religion is the deity of Christ, that Jesus is God in flesh, part of the triune God, right? That's what they do, is they deny that. And if you deny that, you deny your only hope of salvation. Your only hope of salvation. So we see these different things. Let's go to now over to Mark. Mark chapter 2, verse 5. And it says, we'll see here, and when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. Now, some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, why does this man speak like this? He is blasphemy. Who can forgive sin but God alone? Another right there, right? Who can forgive sin? And what did Jesus just do? He forgave sin. But who could forgive sin but God alone? Another, that the deity of Christ. So who are people? We're seeing all these testimonies who Christ is, that he is God in flesh. And then we see on chapter 2, verse at the end, that he is the Lord of the Sabbath. Who created the Sabbath? God created the Sabbath, right? So we see that. And John, let's go to John chapter 10, verse 27. And so John chapter 10, verse 27 says, my sheep hear my voice. Are we God's sheep? Do we listen to his voice? Do we proclaim that he's God in flesh? I know them, and they follow me. Do we follow Christ? What does our life look like? What does our life say about us? Who do we say that Christ is? Where it says, I know my sheep. They follow me. I give them eternal life. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that amazing? That should get us excited, right? That should get us pumped up. God, he's given me eternal life. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. And check it out. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. And here's Jesus' profession about himself. I and the Father are one. Again, right? I and the Father are one. So his profession of himself, that he is God. And John chapter 8:58, before Abraham was, I am. Proclaiming himself to be God. Because remember when Moses met God in the burning bush, right? And he says, well, who should I say is going to send me to the Israelites? They're not going to listen to me. And God said through the burning bush, he says this, right? Tell them that I am has sent you. And so right here, Jesus proclaiming again, before Abraham was, I am. So this is important, right? The deity of Christ. It's all through the word of God. People try to deny it. They're all through the word of God. You could go through hundreds of scriptures. It's all through the word of God. So we just can't say, Jesus, oh, you're a good teacher, right? Oh, you're just a good teacher. And we hear that all the time. He was a good man. He was a good teacher. No, he's God. He's God in flesh. A good teacher, right? Can a good teacher do miracles? Can a good teacher forgive sins? Can a good teacher cast out demons? You know, no, only God could forgive sins. So now we're going to Mark. Chapter 3, verse 20. And Pastor's going to hit on more about this later, but it's interesting. So it says, and then he went home. So his headquarters was Peter's house. So he's going back home to around his hometown. And it says, and the crowd gathered again so that they could not even eat. So he'd been doing all these miracles, right? All these people are following them. And we see like in John where it talks about that they followed him for the food, they followed him for the miracles, they really didn't want him. And he pretty much, you only came because, in John chapter 6, because I fed you and you ate. And so we see they're following me, that the crowds would be all around him so much that they didn't even have time to eat a meal. Why? Because all these miracles. Because all the things he was doing. That people cannot deny that these miracles were coming from Christ. And remember, we've seen in John chapter 3, verse 2, where it says, no one could do this unless he is of God. So it's interesting. They didn't even have time to eat a meal. And it says, and verse 21, and when the family heard it, they went out and seized him, for they were saying, he is out of his mind. So now we get to, so we see all the evidence who Christ is, that he's God. Now we see to what his own family thinks about him, that he's crazy, that he's delusional, that he's a lunatic. Mary always believed, right? The angel Gabriel talked to her, and Joseph believed, the angel talked to him. Joseph is most likely dead because it's not talked about, but his brothers and his sisters did not believe. They thought he was crazy. They thought he was a lunatic. You know, you can only imagine Jesus is the good child, right? Why can't you be more like your brother? Right? Why can't you be more like Jesus? Right? We you know, you hear that in families. We say, if you have kids, you should never tell them. Never say that. But I can only imagine, Jesus is perfect. What do you mean? Just be like Jesus. Come on. He's never did nothing wrong, Mom. Right? But you could think, obviously they knew there was something different about him, but they didn't believe. They thought he's crazy. And it says that, verse 21, and when the family heard it, they went out to seize him and take custody of him, take him, like arrest him. Come on, they're trying to save him. For they were saying he is out of his mind. So now people are saying he's crazy, he's delusional. And but they couldn't say that because of all the miracles. Because can crazy people do miracles? Let's turn to John chapter 21, verse 24. Let me see here. So John chapter 21, verse 24. It says, "This is the disciple who's bearing witness about these things, and who has written these things, and we know that this testimony is true. Now there are also many other things that Jesus did, where every one of them were written. I suppose the world itself could not contain the books that would be written." So he had done so many miracles, he had done so many signs, that they suppose that even all the books in the world cannot contain them. So we can't say that Jesus is just a good teacher, because good teachers don't do all these miracles, right? He can't say he's crazy. He's a lunatic. He's delusional. Because crazy people don't do miracles. They don't do signs. They don't cast out demons. They don't feed the 5,000. They don't, they don't heal lepers. They don't bring people, they don't say that I am the living water. If you would come to me, you will never thirst. Crazy people don't do miracles. Next, we'll see in verse 22 what the scribes, and a scribe was an expert of the Mosaic law. They legislated both civil and religious matters. So there were these scribes, they were experts of the law, experts of the Old Testament, right? And so we'll see what these scribes say about Jesus. And it says, and the scribes who came down from Jerusalem were saying, he is possessed by Beelzebul, and by the prince of the demons, he casts out demons. So what are they saying here? Jesus is demonic. Wow, now you're not just a good teacher. You're not just crazy. Now you're demonic. Now you're of Satan. Getting in some hot water here, right? Getting into some bad ground. The scribes were saying Jesus is a liar, not of God. They were saying that he was from Beelzebul. Because how else are they going to explain his miracles? So they had to try to explain it away. You've seen all the crowds. They couldn't even eat a meal because there's all these crowds. And so they're trying to explain away, well, we can't say that he's God. We have to say something else. And we think about, what do we say about Christ with our lives? The way we act. The way we live. The way we spend our time. The way we interact with people. What is our proclamation of who Christ is? Do we show people that he's crazy? That he's a liar? Do we show them that he's demonic or who we are? Or do we show that he's the Son of God? Yeah, we all have our issues in life, right? We all go through our struggles. But what does your life overall say? And when the people said, man, you know what? Jesus is the Son of God. I can tell how this guy serves God. You know? So we'll see, like, so Beelzebul, it says in Luke 11:15 that he's the prince of the demons. So they're saying that Jesus is empowered by the prince of the demons, that he's demonic, right? Remember, but also in John 3:2, no one could do these things unless he is from God. Beelzebul, interesting, is the same, came from Beelzebub. How many of you guys have heard of who Beelzebub is? So Beelzebub is in, well, you don't have to turn, 2 Kings chapter 1, was the Canaanite god of Ekron, and that meant the Lord of the high place. But the Jews did not like that because God is the most high God, right? So they're like, well, Beelzebub, we don't want his name to be the Lord of the high place. So they changed it to Beelzebul. And Beelzebul, and this is what they're telling of Christ, God in flesh. This is what they're telling of Christ. Beelzebul means the Lord of the dung, the Lord of the manure, the Lord of the flies. And so they're saying that Jesus is empowered by the Lord of manure. What is that saying about Christ? This is getting blasphemous, right? It is blasphemous. You know, how blasphemous this is. We even see, like, it's crazy on TikTok and different social medias. People are even starting to say again that Jesus is demonic. It's just craziness. So, verse 23 of Mark, it says, and he called them, hey, come here. Pretty much, hey, come here, scribes. So he called them to himself. Jesus didn't play. People, you see the picture of him carry a lamb, right? Nice picture. And he looks all like the picture of him, he's like all fair and just like a model or whatever. No, Jesus didn't play. Hey, you, come here. He would always call out the scribes and the Pharisees, right? And so he called them, and he said to them, in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, the kingdom cannot stand. And if the house is divided against itself, the house cannot stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself, and is divided, he cannot stand, but is coming to an end. We already know that's going to happen. That the enemy's kingdom is going to come to an end. You better be on the right team, right? You better be with Christ. But we think about it, right? They can't stand. And we think about, even in our own houses, we think about our own churches, our own houses, even our own nation. We see the craziness going on in our nation all the time, right? And that's why we're falling. We don't even stand together. We're supposed to be united, you know. But what happens in a church when we don't stand together? It says it falls. That's why we have to be in unity of the body of Christ. What about a house that doesn't stand together, that doesn't operate how Godhead says, right? That there's actually roles in the family, that the man is the head of the household. And then there's the mom, and then there's the children. And it's all backwards. We watch every TV shows, and the dad's an idiot, and the mom's overstressed, and the kids are the smartest ones. And it's backwards, right? It's trying to destroy the design of God. And when it's like that, that house cannot stand. There has to be authority from God, and the man is the priest of the home, and it goes down, right? We got to stand on God's word, on what he says. That's where joy, that's where peace, that's where comfort is. Otherwise, it's chaos and it won't stand. John chapter 17, verse 21. And a couple of things right here. What are we supposed to do? John chapter 17, verse 21. that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Right? So we are to be one in Christ, in our families, in our churches, in the community, right? Us believing in Christ, we are to be one in him, in Jesus Christ. Not divided, because that house will fail. It won't stand. It will fall. And so you have problems and stuff like that. We got to be the body of Christ. And let's see how a Christian should act. First Timothy, like, who people that are one in Christ should act. Actually, not in First Timothy. It's in Philippians. Philippians 2. Where I put that at? Philippians 2, 1 through 4. So if there is any encouragement, that's what we want, right? In Christ. Any comfort from love, that's what we need, right? Any participation in the Spirit, oh, we definitely need that. Any affliction and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind. This is being one in Christ, right? In Christ, not our own minds. We need to be renewed by the, we ought to be renewed, right? By the renewing of our minds. Having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition. We're all narcissistic in our own ways, aren't we? Yeah. I like the biggest slice of pizza. I want the biggest piece of cake, even when it's my daughter's for her birthday. Well, hers is bigger than mine. It's not your birthday. Oh, okay. Right? We're all narcissistic. We all want it our way. We do. But God has not called us to do that. Why? He says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility. Whoa, 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 whoa. Humility? Really, Lord? Okay. Count others more significant than yourself. They're wrong, though. But they're wrong. How can I count them more significant than me? I'm right and they're wrong. God don't make no mistakes in his word, does he? Count them more significant than yourself. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. What does this do? Have the mind among yourselves, which is ours in Christ Jesus. That is ours in Christ Jesus. This is the mind we have to have, right? That is ours in Christ Jesus. Let's go to back to Mark, verse 37. That's just a side note. We can't let the church or the house or our houses be divided. We got to stand together in Christ. You want to know how to do it? Read Philippians 2, 1 through 4, 5. Verse 27. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man. What are you talking about? So, Satan can't cast out Satan. So someone has to be stronger than Satan, right? Who's stronger than Satan? Who? God, right? And who's casting out the demons? Jesus. Yeah, Jesus. Yeah. So if God, if the only one stronger than Satan is God, and Jesus is casting out the demons, then Jesus is God. Yeah. Yeah, you just kind of follow the logic, right? Okay. And so he's saying that Jesus is the strong man. You have problems in your life? Jesus is the strong man. And we could, isn't that great when you have like a friend that's really strong? Like you grew up and there's other kids bullying you or whatever, and that happened to me. Chased from home. Leave me alone. Right home. And then I remember I had some big friends too. It was a strong man. Leave him alone. Yeah, leave me alone. Do what he says. Right? That's what we do, right? Jesus is a strong man. He's God in flesh. He's our protector, our provider. He's our Savior. Right? And they're denying that. They're saying he's satanic. That's not good, right? This is bad. You know, they're saying he's satanic. Verse 28 says, "Truly I say to you, all sins will be forgiven." All sins, right? It says in the Psalms that he'll, right, forgive our sins and he'll spread them, right, all from the east as far as the west. "Truly I say to you, all sins will be forgiven, the children of men, and whatever blasphemies they utter." Oh, thank you. Because we've all been blasphemous at times. That's good. That's good news. "But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness." Uh-oh. Did I commit that? Have I blasphemed the Holy Spirit? You know. "Never has forgiveness, but is guilty of eternal sin. For they were saying, he has an unclean spirit." So what is he saying here? Wow, blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. So what have they just attributed Jesus to? They've called him what? Demonic. They've called him Lord of Manure. Blasphemy. They're attributing, they're saying Jesus is satanic, not God in flesh, but he's satanic. That he's satanic. So we said, what? This blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, really, it's they're rejecting the testimony, what, of the Father and of the Holy Spirit. Remember what the testimony of the Holy Spirit is? Jesus is God in flesh. They're rejecting their only hope of salvation. They're unrepentant. So if I were to blaspheme Jesus, am I blaspheming the Holy Spirit? If you die in your unrepentance, yeah. Because actually we can blaspheme Jesus, but you have to repent. You have to be saved. You have to be born again. But if you don't, you're ultimately rejecting the drawing of the Holy Spirit. And that can never be forgiven because, what? Salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Acts 4:12, right? You know? They were saying Jesus is demonic. They're satanic. What about Jesus' brothers? Jesus' brothers, they didn't believe. Guess what? After the resurrection in Acts 1:14, his brothers and mothers were in the upper room. They believed. What about Paul? He talks about in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. He said that he was a blasphemer. I can't get to it because I'm running out of time. He was a blasphemer, and he was given the grace of God. So we know he was arresting and having people murdered, and he was at the feet of Stephen when he was stoned, right? He was forgiven. So can a Christian blaspheme the Holy Spirit? Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 6. I would say, well, definitely not, but an apparent Christian could blaspheme the Holy Spirit. So Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4. "For it is impossible in the case of those who have once have been enlightened, who have tasted the holy gift and have shared in the Holy Spiest." So interesting, his word, right? Tasted, shared, right? "And have tasted the goodness of the word of God and the power of the age to come." So they've seen it. They've gotten revelation of it. They've heard the gospel preached. They've seen the things of God. It says, check it out. "And then having fall away to be restored again to repentance." since they are crucifying once again the Son of God to their own harm and holding him up to contempt. So obviously, first of all, a Christian can't do this because it says you can never come back to repentance. First of all, they're like, now you're saying if you could lose your salvation, you can never come back to repentance. Uh-oh. So that throws that out of the water, right? So what it's saying here is those people that have seen it, they've heard it. They've heard the gospel and they reject it. And ultimately we're rejecting, right, the Holy Spirit. We're rejecting the Holy Spirit. And Romans 10:13, it says, all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen? Right? Hebrews 7:25, it says he will save the utmost, the uttermost. He will save. So blasphemy is really someone who refuses to repent. When they have heard the gospel, the inspired word of God, they've gotten the revelation of Christ, and they die in their sin. Because they're rejecting their only hope, right? Acts 4:12, salvation is found no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Christ alone. Remember, right? He's a behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So we can't reject the testimony of the Holy Spirit of who Christ is. So ends up like with us. So who do we say that Jesus is with your life? With your words, with your thoughts, the way you act. Who do we say that Jesus is? And we're in two little scriptures. And so it's Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" So he's asking the disciples, who do people say that I am? We look at this world, some people say you're a lunatic, a liar. Some people say you're demonic. Some people say you're a good teacher. So he says, who do people say the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. And others, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. They were getting it wrong. He's not a prophet. He's not a good teacher. And then check it out. But he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And we think about that with our lives. Who do we say that Christ is? Who do we say by the way we live? But who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, right? The Son of the living God. Is that our testimony? Is that how we live? Is it Christ alone that we trust? And the last one is John chapter 20, verse 24. We'll see another testimony of who Christ is. Now Thomas, one of the 12, 24, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see his hands, the marks of the nails, and place my finger into the marks of the nails, and place my hands into his side, I will never believe. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your fingers here and see my hands, and put your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. And check it out. Look at his testimony. What is our testimony of Christ? Who do we say that Christ is? Check it out. Even when he was hurt, even when he didn't know what to do, when he thought his Savior was dead, and Christ reveals himself to him. Thomas answered, my Lord and my God. Another testimony of who he is. My Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, have you believed because you have seen? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet I believe. See, the worst blasphemy, you have all this revelation and reject Christ. You're rejecting the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so what? So check this out. So that you may believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have eternal life. You may have life in his name. Amen. Who do we say that Jesus is? All right. I'm going to close in prayer. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, we ask, Lord God, that you would change our lives. You would change our hearts. You would change our minds to make us more like you, Lord. Who do we say that you are, Lord God? You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. You are God in flesh. You are our only hope, our only Savior. You alone, Father God. We love you, Lord Jesus. I just pray, Lord, that you would just continue with each and every person here, Lord, that they would put their hope and their faith and their trust in you and proclaim you with their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.